For our scripture reading this morning, I'd like to have us turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And today we're talking about comfort. And oh, how we need comfort, especially today and I'm sure in the days to follow. So I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. There's our word, comfort. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And so we're thinking of comfort today, and it is not surprising to know that the Apostle Paul uses the word comfort and consolation in 33 verses. And I was going to say 33 times, but we have that word comfort or consolation mentioned innumerable times in the text we just read. 33 times Paul mentions this word comfort or consolation, to be consoled. A boy was in hospital, very sad. Very sad because they had to amputate one of his legs. And in his mind, he could never walk again, he could never run again, he could never be normal like he wanted to be, and so he was most despondent. Well, a gentleman came in for the purpose of comforting him. And as they talked, this boy in his anger said, "It's fine for you. You can walk. You have two legs. Me, I only have one. It's fine for you to say those things, but if you experience what I experience, you wouldn't feel so good, would you?" At that stage, this man raised up his pant legs to show the boy that he had no legs. Both of his legs had been amputated, and he was walking on artificial legs. The boy was taken back. "It's fine for you to say this?" "Yes, I can say this because I've gone through more than you have. I've lost both of my legs. You've only lost one. You still have one good leg." In other words, don't be so despondent. It's not the end of the world, is it? Well, the boy was rather ashamed of himself having said what he had said. This man could comfort this lad because he had gone through the same thing, if not more, than the lad had gone through. Well, the Apostle Paul, I said, uses this term many, many times, and rightly so, because he had gone through much more suffering than the average person goes through. Now, today we may think, because of our coronavirus and all these things that are happening, we may think that, "Oh, woe is me. No one knows the trouble I see." No, that song goes on to say, "No one knows but Jesus Christ." I'm going to turn now to Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Paul says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulation." Well, there you are. "We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." Now, if you take that verse apart and you realize every aspect of that passage, you'll be comforted too, knowing that the love of God, by means of the Holy Spirit, is shed abroad in our hearts. Well, I mentioned that the Apostle Paul uses that word comfort many times as a way of admonition to us. Why do we suffer, if indeed we are? So that we may be able to comfort others as well. That's what our text said in 2 Corinthians 1. I'm reading now 1 Thessalonians 5. God hath not appointed us to wrath. The world may hate us, but not God. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Because of what the Lord has done for us, we have his comfort because of his love. Then verse 14, same passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak. Be patient toward all men. They may gripe. They may complain. They may be so discouraged. Comfort those people. And those people who are complaining, Paul says they're feeble-minded. They don't manifest the mind of Christ. They have their own fleshly mind. That's similar to Romans 15:1. Now, I said Paul mentions this in 33 verses. We can't go through them all, but we can go through some. Here's one. Romans 15:1, we that are the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We that are strong, how are you strong? By means of the fruit of the Spirit. You have his love. You have his joy. You are conquering those discouragements. Well, another one. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, comfort is a product of grace. That's not just what we imagine or what we deduce, but we find in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17, that comfort is the result of God's grace in our hearts. So I'm reading 2 Thessalonians 2, 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Establish you. Through grace we are comforted. Therefore, I go to my next idea. Could one have such comfort under law? And already you're saying, of course not. Comfort comes through grace, not law. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, consolation and good comfort, or I should say good hope, consolation and good hope through grace. That's what Paul said. Comfort comes through grace. That's why we can glory in tribulation. Christ lives in our hearts. We know that. The Bible says so. And to a certain extent, we are experiencing the love of Christ in our hearts. Going to Hebrews 4, verse 15, we have a comforter, and that's Christ. Well, you say the comforter is the Holy Spirit, isn't it, the Paraclete? Another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit, is Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We have Jesus Christ in our hearts. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How was he touched? Because he suffered. In all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Did he have cause to worry? Fleshly speaking, yes. But spiritually speaking, no. Because he knew the future. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul as he was in confinement in Jerusalem. The Lord came to him and said, "Be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so shalt thou testify of me in Rome." You're going to live through this. They're trying to kill you, but they're not going to be able to because I'll protect you. I have decided you're going to be in Rome and profess Jesus Christ there also. With that comfort, that assurance, that consolation, he was able to endure. Now we have this hope in Christ. Our city is in heaven already. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. How can we complain? Well, under law, it was guesswork. I recall a little chorus that one of our pastors wrote many years ago. Some think so, they hope so, they trust so, they guess so, but I know I am saved. Okay, under law, they think so. Well, they hope so, they trust so, they guess so, but we have all confidence. That's why Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Not what, I know whom I have believed. I'm thinking of Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, that their hearts be knit together, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. I know whom I have believed. I know that he is faithful. I know his promises are true. I know by experience, I know by faith. I don't have to hope so. Oh, there are those, and many I've heard, "I hope I make it," or "I hope I'm good enough," "I hope I've done enough." In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, and I'm going through a lot of verses, and I always do, don't I? "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Paul, having gone through so much suffering in his three apostolic journeys, he ended up in Rome and in Philippians, one of his prison epistles. In Philippians 3:10, he says, "I've not already attained, either were already perfect. But what I want to do, I want to know, oh, that I may know whom I have believed, that I may know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." Now that is in reverse order. Let me look at it this way. "That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, having experienced his suffering. Having? I still go through it. And his suffering is going to produce the power of his resurrection. And I can experience the fellowship of his suffering because I have been made conformable to his death. Christ died for my sin. I am crucified with Christ. We are buried with him by baptism into death. We are dead in Christ. Therefore, we are dead to sin. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Acts 20, verse 24. These experiences, these fears, these anxieties of coronavirus, what does it affect us? It's almost silly, isn't it? That we are more concerned for our physical well-being than we are for our spiritual comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking to be caught away to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. We're anticipating this future eternal bliss. Comfort one another with these words. By grace, it's the natural thing. Under law, no wonder they worry. Yes, even Christians worry because they are trusting their own physical infirmities. Oh, how foolish. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep all of that he has committed unto us against that day. He's given to us his life. He's given to us his spiritual fruit. It's ours. Rejoice. Yes, even rejoice in tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Be comforted. Be consoled, rejoice, because blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Be comforted, and in so doing, you will be able to comfort also in all of their tribulation.